As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. And our scripture for today is from Luke 6, verses 27 through 36. We're continuing in this series called Questions Jesus Asked. And this question is, whom do you love? Luke 6, 27 through 36. The words can be found on the screen above. That's pretty cool. All right, here we go. It says, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word for us today, even as challenging as it is to actually live out these words. God, we thank you for this community of faith, joined together here in person and those online, that we would take these words, that we would ponder them, and that we would do our best to live them out. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Christ's name, amen. So we spend time teaching, or at least trying to teach, in my case, our children and students how to be respectful and honest and compassionate. We celebrate moments in which we see it, and those moments of helping the other person up or walking beside someone who's maybe moving a little slower. The other day, as we sat at a stoplight, I was kind of there, you know, ready to go, and we were on our way home from soccer practice, and Levi said, "Dad, you have anything to give to this guy?" And I was like, looked around, and I had a granola bar there, and so I handed it to Levi, but the guy had already kind of passed by our car and was kind of working his way. We were second in line at the stoplight, and so he had worked his way back, and we were looking, and I was like, "I don't think he's going to make it back before this light." So Levi just handed through the granola bar back at me and said, "Good job, Levi." You know, I was focused on the light, and Levi noticed the gentleman who was on the side of the road. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Do to others as you would have them do to you," a saying we try to teach our children. Every major religion has some version of the golden rule as one of its major principles. It's become so deeply ingrained into the ethical subsoil of our culture that even secular world knows, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." A few years back, Marriott Hotels said it would be spectacular if the golden rule was golden to every person and the good things that we ever did was everything we can. Marriott said this. Spectacular, they said. I think they used the word spectacular because at some point, this way of living the golden rule becomes easier said than done. The golden rule is simple to understand, but it's hard to apply. At some point, we begin spending our time thinking more about how to get an advantage in order to get ahead of the other business, that we might be more successful in life than someone else as the most important thing in our world. We do this even in the church. We think about how can we get ahead of those Baptists or Presbyterians or Episcopals or non-denominational. Sometimes we even do it with our own fellow Methodist churches. And I think that's why, even as we join together for worship this day, how Rise Against Hunger is such a gift. Because there's so many different groups. There's so many different churches. There's all kinds of folks who come together. 237, actually, Ray. I saw two more people registered between services. Come together for a bigger purpose than what we could do on our own. I mean, can you imagine if we were trying to pack 37,000 meals by ourselves? It would take not just one day, probably a few days, but instead we could do it in just a few hours. And I wonder what it would be like if we did this all the time. We invested our creativity and our energy and our collectiveness for something bigger than our own. The way Jesus taught his followers to live was different from the way they had lived before they met him. No matter who they were in the past, following Jesus meant that they were accepting a new citizenship in the kingdom of God, that the main characteristic in this life was not how many fish they caught in order to feed their family and make a living, but instead how they loved God and their neighbor. It wasn't about how many taxes were collected or governments were overthrew, but how they loved their friends and enemies alike. Now, I think there's a couple misconceptions that we read this scripture. There's a couple misunderstandings or maybe way we misapply the scripture because we think it's maybe of being reciprocal or transactional. That if I scratch your back, you are expected to scratch my back. If I do something for you, then I expect something in return. Jesus addresses this by saying, if you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? The golden rule calls us to seek the betterment of others regardless of whether they're going to repay us or whether they're going to do the same for us in return. Personally love and give of ourselves without expecting anything in return. To follow Jesus is to mean to be the most loving people on the planet. To exhibit love in word and deed the way Jesus did. For Jesus was never transactional in his relationships. He calls his followers to the same way of living, to grow in capacity to love to an extent that we don't expect anything in return, to live in a way that there's not room for hate and contempt and fear and anger, to not retaliate with unkindness and animosity, but to grow in our gift of forgiveness. I have to think what a shock it was for his disciples to hear these words from Jesus. To be compassionate as God. People find it easier to give what they think people need instead of giving what people need. So the other way that this scripture can sometimes be misunderstood is when we use our own personal desires and wishes as the primary filter to decide what is good for the other person. Jesus calls us to stop worrying about fixing other people's problems and giving other people advice how to be better and do better, and instead to walk beside people. Calls us to love our neighbors and to listen to them, what they really need. If someone walks up and we're like, here's a pair of shoes, but they actually need a shirt, that does no good. And so we do unto others as they would want you to do to them. That would make the golden rule even more beneficial and effective. For this way of practicing the golden rule requires empathy. It means listening to the other person. It means seeking to see the world through their situation, to see the world through their eyes and their perspective, and removing our own personal filters from the way in which we treat them. What if we read the scripture from Jesus as an honest assessment of how we are dependent upon others, and we're all needy, and we're all connected, that we're none of us are an island, but a deep awareness of our interconnectedness of all human life, our deep need for one another. As we are in daily need and dependent on God's grace. In the scripture, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. If someone takes our coat, give our jacket, to run an extra mile. I think practicing forgiveness is key here. And when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, it's not saying to let others just walk all over you. But when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, he knew that it would be almost impossible for the other person to strike you again, because the striker was only allowed to use their right hand in Scripture. And so it would be physically difficult, if not impossible, for the person who slapped the one person, the attacker, to backhand your left cheek with his right hand. And so turning the other cheek was a way in which we respond with self-respect and dignity. You see, Jesus calls us to be courageous and creative and diligent in responding to someone who's hurt you, who's caused you harm. Just as the fullness of God's love and forgiveness has been freely and generously and unconditionally poured out upon us, we are called to offer that love to others. Thomas Merton said, "Compassion is the keen awareness of our independence of all things." You see, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them, for they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Paul says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion," in Colossians 3:12. Desmond Tutu says, "If you're going to be compassionate, be ready for action." So friends, we are to act in love without preference or partiality and expect nothing in return. We are called to treat everyone with compassion and empathy and love as Jesus did. And so may we be that community. There's all kinds of communities of faith. May we be a community of faith that lives this way of compassion and empathy and love, not only for those gathered here in the sanctuary today, but for every person we meet on the streets and around town and in the city. May we be that community. May we be those people. Let us pray. Gracious love, gracious God, we do indeed love you. We thank you for the scripture, even though it's difficult. God, as we hear these words from you this day, may they challenge us and transform us. That as we encounter people during this season of life who think differently or maybe treat us differently, may we respond in love, may we respond with empathy, May we respond with compassion. That when someone shows up at the door and we don't agree with them, or maybe they're angry about something, that we would respond in love and see how that transforms the relationship, the encounter. God, we do indeed love you and thank you for your example. May we be the people who you have called us to be, now and in the days to come. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.